Well, Kavitha, we've called the Nats the team of destiny all season, and they did it.
They sure did.
They won the World Series for the first time in franchise history last night, 6-2 in the decisive Game 7.
The kick in, here it comes. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books! The celebration is on! The Washington Nationals are the world champions!
Howie Kendrick, man. Howie Kendrick. Baseball is just the best.
I mean, the Nats were definitely seen as the underdogs here. Remember, they were 12 games below 500 at one point this season. But as The Athletic's Jason Stark pointed out to us on the show a while back, the Nats were actually one game better than the Astros since that point in the season. And they were one game better than the Astros last night.
I mean, look, dude, think about what they did here. This incredible comeback just to make it to the wild card with all the storylines along the way. Aaron Barrett, Davey Martinez, losing Bryce Harper. They toppled the powerhouse Dodgers thanks to a Howie Kendrick grand slam, by the way. And then they come out and they beat the two most dominant pitchers in baseball to win their first title. Seriously, baseball is the best.
It's pretty remarkable.
Except, you know, now we're probably going to be hearing Baby Shark everywhere.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
And now, on to our main story. There's an NBA team that's been off to a rather surprising start this season.
Their squad, a team that has already started turning some heads. So much so, the sports section of this morning's New York Times actually posed the question, have you seen the Minnesota Timberwolves?
The Timberwolves lost to the Sixers last night in a game that featured a rather epic headlock wrestling match between Joel Embiid and Karl-Anthony Towns. But before that, the T-Wolves rattled off three straight wins to start the season for just the third time in franchise history.
The team is led by the NBA's youngest head coach, Ryan Saunders, the son, of course, of legendary NBA coach Flip Saunders. And Ryan is, yep, all of 33 years old.
Did you feel old, Anders?
No. Never.
The Athletic's John Krasinski recently got Saunders to open up about his struggles with grief after his father's death. And so today, we're going to talk to John about Ryan Saunders' journey and about how his youthfulness and his ability to connect with his players is helping the Timberwolves win.
Ryan is one of those guys that not only are you calling him your head coach and your leader, but you're calling him your best friend, so...
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. It's Thursday, October 31st.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
You gotta go faster, faster.
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, John, it's Kavitha. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. No problem at all.
So first things first, John, what do you make of the T-Wolves' short but hot start?
Yeah, it has been a pleasant surprise. There's no question. I mean, it's a team right now that is playing an entirely different style on defense and offense.
And so just a phenomenal 13 of 18 night for Karl-Anthony Towns. Another 37 point night, but also Dave, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals. That stat line has never been seen before in the NBA. So
Ryan Saunders has implemented a sea change in philosophy And one thing that they have been preaching from the summer through training camp through the start of this season is togetherness.
When you get on that plane, you know, bottom line is the only people that, wherever you're going, the only people that think you can win and want you to win for the most part are on that plane.
And so, John, we're here today to talk about Ryan Saunders' journey to becoming the youngest head coach in the NBA. But it's a story that really starts with his father, Flip.
Yeah, he was really one of the most popular figures in the league. Flip was at the forefront of that first real taste of success that this organization had from 1995 to 2004, bringing them right to the brink of the NBA Finals.
Lever for the tie, and the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to the Western Conference Finals.
And really making the Twin Cities, which is known across the country as a hockey community, turning it into a basketball community as well and making the game popular here. But really what allowed him to be so universally loved was the way that he related to people. He was very gregarious. He didn't take himself too seriously.
It's a great day that we've got Kevin here and Jerry and our new thing, but the biggest, more than anything else, is it's the only time I've seen you where you haven't spilled anything on your tie yet.
He could relate to league executives. He could relate to agents. He could have a conversation with anybody to try and have as much success as you could.
And so what was it like for Ryan to grow up in this NBA world?
Yeah, it was quite an experience for Ryan Saunders and for the whole family. Flip kind of traveled this long and winding road to get to the NBA, trying to work his way up the coaching ladder and get a chance in the NBA. And Ryan was by his side all the way through it, going to practices, going to games, watching how his father broke down film in his office late at night, falling asleep on the couches while his dad was looking at film late into the night. He just really tagged along all over the place. So Ryan really did have a front row seat for the whole operation.
You know, a lot of kids, when they have famous parents, they kind of reject the family business. But that clearly wasn't the case with Ryan.
Yeah, that's right, Kavitha. But Ryan always knew that he wasn't going to be a professional player. He didn't have that kind of skill. And so he really kind of just rolled up his sleeves and got into the grueling part of the business, the part where you're not making a whole lot of money, where you're working incredibly long hours. And he quickly found out that one of his strengths was relating to players. And he found an easy way of communicating with them, getting these players to trust him.
And so now, fast forward to 2014, Flip Saunders has done stints with the Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards, and he's brought back to be the president of basketball operations in Minnesota. And he brings Ryan on board.
Yeah, that's right. When Flip named himself coach and took over both the president of basketball operations and the head coaching duties, you know, he brought Ryan with him. Ryan was with the Washington Wizards at the time and still working as an assistant there, but he wanted to reunite with his father, and they wanted to turn this franchise around together.
And so they have this one season together, father and son coaching together with the franchise that Flip in many ways helped build from scratch in a city that loves them, that's synonymous with the Saunders. And then Flip gets sick.
The Minnesota Timberwolves announced on Tuesday that team president and head coach Flip Saunders has been diagnosed with cancer.
When he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, what was the reaction around the league?
When the news was first made public, everyone was fairly confident that he was going to be able to make it through this, that he was going to get some treatment, and maybe he'd have to miss a few games, but he was going to be okay. But by August of that summer, things were not looking good.
And so Flip has to step away from his head coaching duties, but Ryan is still working on the team as an assistant coach. What was that like for him?
He was right in the trenches with Flip all the way through this, and they were side by side all the time. They ate lunches together every day. They were literally inseparable. And so as Flip is getting sicker and sicker, Ryan is feeling more compelled to spend time away from the team and in the hospital room with his father, because he realizes that they are entering the final days of his best friend's life.
Flip Saunders, the Timberwolves coach, team president, and part owner, died today after fighting cancer for the past several months. He was 60 years old.
And John, people obviously knew that Flip Saunders was sick, but his death came really quickly and really stunned the NBA world.
It did stun the NBA world. I mean, there are a bunch of big egos in this league. There are all sorts of people who are competitive with each other and want to beat each other's brains out on a nightly basis. But then in this moment of tragedy, everyone was on the same team.
And, you know, I'll always remember it. It still kind of brings a tear to my eye. This photo that Kevin Garnett posted of him just sitting in Flip Saunders' empty parking space at the arena.
That's the one that sticks out, that just hits you like a thunderbolt. Kevin Garnett and Flip Saunders were very close. I mean, it was sort of like losing a family member, like either a very close uncle or a second father. And he still to this day hasn't really been able to publicly express what was going through his heart and his mind in those moments. It's been too difficult for him.
And for Ryan, it was that much harder. I mean, after taking some time off, he eventually had to go back to work in the building where he and his dad had been coaching together every day.
This was a very kind of powerful moment in our conversation, Kavitha, because he, for the first time, is looking at basketball rather than sort of one of the defining purposes of his life, as instead as a reminder of all that he has lost.
I was having trouble being in the office that he would come into every day to go to lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually having kind of visualizations of him coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard.
And so every part about being in a basketball gym that used to be so therapeutic for him instead was just torturing him, because all he kept thinking about was all the time and energy he had spent with his father in this game. And so it was at that point, in the very, you know, lowest parts of his despair, that he first contemplates walking away from it all. He started to look at cabins in the North Woods of Minnesota, and he wanted to retreat there, buy a cabin, leave the NBA behind, and just go up there and fish and coach high school basketball.
Did that represent some kind of serenity or some what were you thinking about? Like,
simplicity, mm-hmm. just something simple. Mm-hmm. I think it was part of the grief process. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, you know, in the end, like, there's no quitting me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not giving up is mm-hmm. the thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was never going to get to that point.
Right.
But for me, it was part of the grief process to really think about, like, what do you want mm-hmm. in life?
And Ryan was also helped through this incredibly difficult time by someone he had recently reconnected with.
One of the angels on his shoulder at this moment was a woman named Haley Doolin, who he had gone to college with at the University of Minnesota, and they had known each other then. But then as Ryan embarked on his coaching career, they sort of went their separate ways. Well, it just so happened that in the spring of 2015, before Flip had gotten sick, Ryan and Haley had sort of reconnected. And they went out on a little double date and just started to kind of explore if there was something there to go on with. But then Flip gets sick. And so Ryan, again, has to retreat from that relationship while he goes through the months-long process of being there for his father and going through the funeral and all of those things. So shortly after he returned to work and started to coach with the Timberwolves again, Ryan decided that he wanted to reach out to Haley because, again, with all of the emotions surrounding the basketball side of his life and how that married with the grief that he was feeling, he needed some sort of an outlet. And so he reached out to Haley and asked her to come to a game. And shortly after that, they went on a long-awaited second date. And what Haley told me about that process was that she found a person who was pretty much broken inside and incredibly open with his feelings and vulnerable in the moment. And that really drew her to him.
I think time was the biggest factor in that, but also just having our fun together and growing as a couple. I feel like as I got closer to his family, I think everything just kind of shaped itself.
And so the more time they spent together, the more Ryan realized that he had found someone who could help him through that. And certainly his mother played a big role in getting him through it as well, telling him not to make any rash decisions when it came to buying a cabin and getting away from it all, to let this whole process play out. But then to add Haley to that mix and get him something totally different to get away from the game, to get away from the grief, I think really helped get his legs back underneath him and start to find a purpose again.
Having Haley and having that to look forward to, and you know, on those dates and things like that, that made me not want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm obviously really glad, right? for a number of ways.
So they're pursuing this relationship. Ryan's totally turning his life around, turning his grief around, and pretty soon they get married.
Yes, it was a very fast courtship. I mean, Ryan proposed in less than a year. And I do think that it was because they were able to connect so quickly and so strongly because of the circumstances surrounding the start of their relationship. I mean, they weren't kind of dipping their toe in the water when they first started out. It wasn't, hey, what do you do for a living? It was, I'm at the emotional depths that I've ever been. Can you help me through this? And the fact that Haley was able to help him through just, you know, made the bond so much stronger, so much faster.
And the other big turning point for Ryan in terms of his being able to move on from his father's death happened at a basketball practice about 3 months after Flip had passed away.
So in January, they had been through a particularly tough slate of games. They'd lost several games in a row, and the despair was kind of starting to sink in. And so during one particular practice, the team gathered at center court and sort of the coaches kind of challenged the players and say, what are you going to do to sacrifice, to give something up for the team to help get this thing turned around?
Everybody's got to give something up for this team. Like, what are you going to do more of? Or what are you going to change to turn this thing around? You know, people knew I was crushed. I mean, just, it was still raw. You know, that was supposed to be him coaching at the time. Like, it was hard. And I couldn't, in practice, I always had to stand with my back to his office. I couldn't coach and be looking into his office where his offices were. And so I told the team, like, hey, tomorrow I'm going to stand where I look at his office. And I started doing that. And for me, like, I needed that nudge, I guess, to do something, you know, to do something for somebody else, to give something up. And I think that was kind of a turning point.
Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he turned to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how he found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ziprecruiter.com/lead. It's also a great way to support our show. That's ziprecruiter.com/LEAD. ZipRecruiter.com/lead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
All right, John, so let's fast forward to this year. Ryan Saunders had been an assistant coach with the Timberwolves, and then he was named interim head coach last season when Tom Thibodeau got fired. And then this past May, he was named the full-time head coach. And there was immediately skepticism, right, that this was purely a PR move.
Right. I mean, look, for all of the time that Ryan Saunders has spent in the league, 10 years as an assistant, still, his last name is Saunders, and he was still only 32 years old at the time. That is unbelievably young for a head coach in the NBA. And so when the move was made, it felt like the Timberwolves were reaching for some sort of fairy tale ending to this thing.
I mean, listen, every player, coach, businessman, whatever, but especially in sports, you know, whose dad has played or coached, you know, everyone has to deal with the nepotism question, right? With whether they really deserve to be there. How did Ryan himself handle that question?
Ryan is very prideful, and he is not one who will be very combative with the media. He's very easy to get along with. But this particular subject is a sore spot for him.
This is professional sports. You're not going to give the keys to your team over to somebody that for a cute story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a reason, and it's not because of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reasons, and I don't want to talk about myself, but you can talk to other people mm-hmm. if you want. And if anybody thinks that's just for a cute story ever, mm-hmm. they can go talk to them, and mm-hmm. people will tell you.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of strikes me about the Flip Saunders and Ryan Saunders story is we do have kind of a shift in the model of the coach-player relationship, right? I mean, we have kind of the traditional model of the father and son kind of dynamic. The Greg Popovich's Flip was definitely along those lines. We've talked about Flip's relationship with Kevin Garnett in that vein. But now we hear a lot of younger coaches described as being, you know, a player's coach, David Fizdale over in New York, and certainly Luke Walton. Is that the shift that we're seeing? And where does Ryan Saunders fit into that?
There's a definite shift that we're seeing in that regard, Kavitha. This is the era of player empowerment in the NBA. Players are really dictating the rules of engagement a lot more. There is no longer the heavy-handed coach who can say, it's my way or the highway. That coach will be hitting the highway a lot sooner than any star player will, just because the star player is so valuable. And so it is a lot more of a collaboration these days between player and coach. And so Ryan very much fits in that new age mold. In the season opening win over Brooklyn, a couple of players suggested to Ryan in the closing moments some changes to the defensive personnel so they could get a stop at the very end. And Ryan listened to them and implemented those changes, and it worked out, and they won.
6 seconds left in overtime. The Nets down by 1. Irving lost his footing, regathers, fires off the mark at the horn, and the Timberwolves win it in overtime.
That is not something that Tom Thibodeau or Jeff Van Gundy or some of the old school coaches from the 80s and 90s would do. This is a new era. Ryan Saunders understands that this is a new era and that there has to be buy-in from the players or else you just don't have a chance for long-term success.
And it's pretty clear that Ryan has a special relationship with a lot of the players on the team. Like, the way Karl-Anthony Towns talks about him is really indicative of that.
It just shows you who he is as a person. You know, Ryan is one of those guys that not only are you calling him your head coach and your leader, but you're calling him your best friend, so...
And then there was this moment after their second game of the season, after they beat Charlotte, where the team made this really beautiful gesture in the locker room on the anniversary of Flip Saunders' death.
As a team, we want to say something. We, you know, 4 years ago, your father joined the Angels up in heaven. We really, as a team, when we came in the huddle out there, especially out in the, on the court, we said we wanted to get this W for you and your family. So we made sure to grab the game ball for you and your family.
And then this story really comes full circle. We mentioned earlier that Ryan and Haley got married, and a few months ago they had their first child, Lucas Philip Saunders.
He definitely has been a ray of sunshine. And, you know, one of the really touching things that Ryan told me in our interview was, you know, in the darkest depths of his despair, he would take out his cell phone and look at real estate listings for cabins as a way to get away, as a way to try and forget everything that was around him and move away from basketball and all the reminders of Flip that basketball brought. But nowadays, Haley will come into the family's Four Seasons porch and see Ryan with Lucas on his lap, and Ryan will have his cell phone out.
I was sitting right there. I had Lucas on my lap and I was showing Grandpa Flip. Mm-hmm. Just pulled up a coaching clinic and he could hear his voice and I was talking to him and letting him know, hey, this is Grandpa Flip. Mm-hmm. You know, he met you before, you know, we met you.
Okay, I've got the red team, so we're going to set up our office. The first set we call, it's called 45. Okay.
And, you know, Kavitha, while Ryan is telling me this story, it really became clear to me that Lucas wasn't the only one who needed to hear Flip's voice on that video every once in a while. I think it really does Ryan a lot of good as well.
Well, John, thank you so much for telling the story to us today.
Kavitha, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You can read John Krasinski's profile of Ryan Saunders on theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. Frustration is mounting for Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, who walked out of an interview session Wednesday after a heated exchange with a reporter.
There's a penalty, so we're negative yards.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
Well, when the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. That's the dumbest question you could ask.
The second-year QB is tied for the NFL lead in interceptions and has thrown at least one in all seven of the Browns' games this season. Cleveland was, of course, a trendy preseason choice to win the division, but the Browns are now 2-5.
Former MLB MVP Josh Hamilton has been arrested on a felony charge of injury to a child. According to an arrest warrant affidavit, Hamilton escalated an argument with one of his daughters into a physical altercation, allegedly leaving her bruised and scratched. The 38-year-old Hamilton was the top overall pick in the 1999 draft, but substance abuse issues plagued his entire big league career.
And the Golden State Warriors' bad luck just keeps getting worse. In the second quarter of last night's game against the Phoenix Suns, Steph Curry landed hard on his wrist while driving to the hoop and left the game. The Athletic's Marcus Thompson reports that Curry has a broken hand. There's no timetable for his return. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. See you tomorrow.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for